This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
Every day it starts all over again. New mercy with the dawn. His faithfulness goes on, and gone is all the guilt, the worry of sin. It's all been washed away. Every day it starts all over again.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
This Sunday is our Youth Sunday, so they're doing an awful lot of our service for us today, and we praise the Lord for them. They'll be receiving the offering later, closing us in prayer, announcements, other things. So let's give the youth a big hand. Amen. Praise the Lord for them. Thank you, Rebecca, for your leadership with that. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and thank you so much for these young people. We ask you, Lord, to anoint them. We pray you'll speak to their heart. We pray you'll challenge them. You'll challenge them even with the three Hebrew children and their boldness, their character. And Lord, we just want to ask you, please, to glorify yourself today in our midst with your presence and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and greet each other.
Good morning. I have a couple announcements for you today. So first, if you are a guest, we encourage you to fill this out. It's in the sale. You can just tear it straight out and fill it out. We would love to see you next Sunday. And if you are not currently in a life group, we really encourage you to attend. It's every Sunday at 9:15. And next Sunday, after the worship service, we will be hosting a spaghetti luncheon in the fellowship hall. It's a fundraiser for the youth to be able to attend youth summer camp. And so if you come out and support us, we would really appreciate it. And Saturday, April 17th from 9 to 12 will be the Walk for Life. If you would like to walk yourself, you can sign up in the foyer or you can sponsor someone else to walk. I know Pastor is looking for a lot of sponsors, so that'll be really great. And we have the Annie Armstrong offering. And so if you just designate on the envelope to donate to Annie Armstrong, it's a missions program to reach North America. It's an awesome cause, so you can just fill that out on the offering. There's also the Holy Land trip. You can go with Pastor and Kim for 10 days to the Holy Land. And it's from January 25th to February 3rd in 2022, so you've got a lot of time. And lastly, we have the Uniquely You Lady Spring Banquet. It's Saturday, May 8th at 11:30. And it's in the fellowship hall, and it's $10 for adults, $5 for young girls, and free admission for any widows that will be attending. All the tables are designed in a unique style, and it's gonna be a wonderful experience for all the women and just a time of fellowship and bonding. So should go to that.
Spaghetti luncheon tickets can be
purchased. Yes, and the spaghetti luncheon tickets can be purchased out in the foyer. A couple of the youth will be selling it, so just come right up to us and we will be super happy to sell you a ticket.
Psalm 95, verses 1 through 5. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving, extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 6. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among all nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. For the great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary.
May we bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this beautiful day you have bestowed upon us. Thank you that we may live in a country where we may congregate and praise and worship you, Lord. Thank you for this offering, and please bless it and work miracles with it. Dear Lord, thank you for your miracles and blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to release our children for Children's Church and head that way. Oh, it's like a discovery every Sunday. Well, it's interesting. We've got this service scheduled today with us concluding our Christophanies, our appearances of Christ in the Old Testament. And this last one actually relates to young people. It's talking about basically the three Hebrew young men and then Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 1, it describes them, and it says that they were youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability for serving in the king's court. So we had these four young men, handsome young men. They were very intelligent, bright, committed, and then they loved God with all their hearts. And it's exciting when young people serve God because they don't know yet what God can't do. As we get older, we start limiting God. We start saying, well, I don't think he can do that anymore, or he won't do that, or he's busy. I've had people say, I don't want to ask him about that. He's busy. I mean, he's omniscient God. I mean, he's unlimited and all-powerful. There's no limit to him. Years ago, I had the opportunity to go to the Special Forces School at Fort Bragg for a few days. They had 40 pastors from across the nation go. It almost killed me. And it was unbelievable, the obstacle course and other things. But the highlight of it for me was I got to go into the mess hall with a room full of young men that all look like Tom Cruise's in Top Gun. I mean, an entire room of these guys, the airborne, Rangers, Special Forces. And so I asked the leadership there, General Boykin, can I go table to table and pray with these young men? And he said, oh, that would be wonderful, Pastor, do it. So I'd come up to each table, and all these young men would look at me, and I'd say, you know, I'm Pastor Daryl Orman from Stuart, Florida. Would it be all right if I pray with you? Yes, sir! you know, they responded, and so I got to pray. I mean, I could just sense the Spirit of God just sweeping over and over and over again. And it's exciting when young people serve God, when they sell out to God, when they're committed to the Lord in a supernatural way. I had the privilege of being born again in Memphis, Tennessee in 1975 when there was an awakening among the youth in Memphis and the Mid-South area. There's several movies that have come out where entire football teams, high school football teams, gave their lives to the Lord. In fact, the Alabama state championship was between two powerhouse schools that revival had touched and saved every football player on both teams. They met for a prayer meeting before the championship. They filled the stadium and turned away thousands of people who stood outside the stadium. And they said it was more like a revival than an actual football game. And the Spirit of God just swept through the stands there in Alabama and drew people to God all over. So today we're going to look at a faith that won't bow or burn. A faith that won't bow or burn. And I'd like to ask you today, what's it going to take for you to turn on Christ? What's it going to take for you to reject Christ? I've been pastor here for this summer 29 years. And it's interesting through the years that I've seen people turn away from Christ. They may be going along and they say, I've got a great family, and then there's marital discord and they come to a place of separation and then a divorce. And I've seen either one or both just walk away from God. They said, if God won't save my marriage, then I don't believe in him anymore. There's been people that have prayed at the bed of a loved one, a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a daughter, a son. And they prayed and said, Lord, please save their life, heal them, save them, intervene for them. And those people have died, and I've seen them turn away, and they say, God's not listening to me. And over again through the years, it might be losing a business. It might be some other thing. And for our young people, it might be getting picked on at school or bullied on Facebook or one of the other, Snap or Twitter or one of the other social medias where they ridicule you and, oh, you think you're better than me. You're a Christian. My daughter and son and both of their spouses, my son-in-law and daughter-in-law, over the last year have experienced a lot of this where they've been taking a stand on Facebook over the abortion issue, that abortion is murder, that the babies are human beings and deserve the right to live. And they've had Christian friends from Liberty University, from Christian college, ridicule them online and defriend them and repel them and hold them off. And the same thing with the homosexual issue, LGBTQRSDXYPLMNOP, plus, Dear God, there's only two sexes on the earth. Ask any animal. Every animal in the world knows you're either a cow or a bull, and one or the other. And to be ridiculed about Christians about that, but and part of that is because of the emerging church that has taken a lot of the mega churches and a lot of the big churches and turned them into just a social event, a popularity contest, rejecting scripture. One of them, Reverend Bell, said God gave him a revelation, there's no hell anymore. He was pastoring one of the big mega churches, one of the sought-after speakers and leading publishing book pub writers in the country, and he decided that God told him there was no hell. Well, that's heretical. That's a heretic, and did it for popularity. God has not called us to be popular. God has called us to be faithful. And I want to ask you today, with our culture turning against us, our schools. When I went to school, our homeroom, our beginning of the school day, the teacher would hand the Bible to different students and say, you pick a scripture and read. How many of you went to school like that? Raise your hands. All over the place. We went to a school like that. In Memphis, every school was like that. We'd pledge allegiance to the flag. Then we'd have to read a scripture, and then we would pray together as a class all over the school every day, 5 days a week during the school year. Now teachers get fired for having a Bible on their desk or writing a verse on their marker board or on their power board and get in trouble and either get suspended or get fired. Dear Lord in heaven, what would it take for you to reject Christ? At what point will you turn your back on him? At what point will you stand and then bow to the gods of this culture, the celebrities, the sports stars, these people that, where on earth have they been designated to give us our morality and our values and these types of things? I've been so disappointed in so many of them. LeBron James, I liked him when he was with the Miami Heat. I don't have any room for him now. He's not a leading political leader. He's a basketball player. Barely completed high school. And so we see this idea of what does it take? Where will you bow or where will you burn in your faith toward Christ? What will it take for you to reject him? I hope and pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, whether you're here with us or whether you're on Facebook or YouTube or one of the other things, the radio, I hope you determine in your heart and you decide today, I will never turn my back on Christ. I will never reject him. Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, had a book years ago, Rebel Without a Call. He's a rebellious pastor's son under Billy Graham. And now he's one of the greatest men on earth. Amen? Let's give him a hand. Franklin Graham. So bold, so truthful, sticking to the Word of God, sticking to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look together in a passage at an experience that the three young Hebrew young men had, these teenagers, probably early to mid to late teenagers. And they had determined, we are not going to bow before the statue here in Babylon. We're not going to do it. We're not going to drop to our knees and worship this golden idol of Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to do it. We're going to worship the one true God. And they made laws to trap them. And they continued to have their prayer time with God Almighty, Jehovah, Elohim, El Shaddai, the God of the ages, the one true God, the God Almighty. And they would not bow before the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar the king. And so because of that, they got in big trouble. If you've got your Bible in Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, O king, live forever. You yourself, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, or any kinds of music, is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And there are certain Jews whom you've appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you've set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I've set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, or bagpipe, or any kind of music, fall down and worship the image I've made. Very well. But if you do not worship, you will be immediately cast in the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? What a great question Nebuchadnezzar asked him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, these young men, basically teenagers, and said to the king of the greatest ruling civilization on earth of that day, one of the great four civilizations of human history in dominance and power and military conquest. And here's what these young men, these teenagers, said to the king, an angry king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set up. We are not going to do it. These young men stood there, handsome, brilliant young men, side by side, shoulder to shoulder, brothers in arms. And they said, we will not worship your idol. We will not bow to your culture. We won't do it. And so, even if he does not, let it be known to you. We won't serve your gods or worship the golden image. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it had ever been heated. And he commanded certain valiant warriors who were in the army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men tied them up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and other clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, stood up in haste, responded, said to his high officials, "Was it not 3 men we cast into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said, "Yes, certainly, O king." And he answered and said, "Look, I see 4 men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of the blazing fire. And he responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on their bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor did they even have the smell of fire upon them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command, and yielded up their bodies as if not to serve or worship any god except their own God." It's interesting that these young men, and this is the way tribulation works, when they were under tribulation for not worship any god but the one true God, God Almighty, Jehovah, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they were thrown into this furnace. And there's 2 things the furnace did for them. Number one, the furnace killed a bunch of their adversaries. The men who were going to destroy them had tied them up with their own clothing to throw them into the furnace. That furnace destroyed them. It killed those soldiers. And beloved, I just want to tell you, when y'all are at school or when you're out in your culture with your family, your neighbors, your friends, and you stand for Christ, God will defend you. God will vindicate you. God will step up for you. And so it destroyed their enemies. And secondly, the only thing that the fire burned off of the 3 young men was their bindings. That was the only thing that burned up, the ropes or clothing or whatever was used to tie them up, their feet, their hands. The fire burned everything that kept them bound and burned it off of them. When you stand for Christ unapologetically, when you identify with Jesus, it frees you. It frees you from the things that bind you. I had the opportunity my first year as a Christian. I was at Northwest Mississippi Junior College playing basketball, living in that athletic dorm. And I got saved the spring of my sophomore year. And so actually my freshman year, and so right at the end of the school year. So I went back to school as a sophomore, and I said, I'm going to live for Jesus with all of my heart. And I did, and it was amazing how freeing it was for me. I didn't have to decide. I had a speech class. I did a speech on why I believe the Bible is literally true at a state school, a state university. And I had students come up to me afterwards and say, some of them were believers, and they said, that was just so strengthening for us to hear that in our class here at Northwest Junior College. That was so exciting. I had the teacher talk to me and say, I'm a believer, and Daryl, I just want to thank you for the courage to do that and to take that stand. And I had one of the athletes, a Methodist football player, Randy, and we were walking out of the class going across the campus. I only had on a shirt. I didn't have on a coat. And he had one of those old leather coats with the sheepskin collar. And I was shivering, walking across the campus. And Randy took that coat off and he said, Daryl, I'm so proud of you as a brother in Christ. Here, wear my jacket. And he threw the jacket on me. And I'll never forget that, just the encouragement that standing for Christ gives to others that returns back to you. And it frees you. You can be free from the fear of people. You can be free from what other people think of you. We had a soul winning workshop yesterday. We had 20 here. We had four youth with us. And we went out to share Christ. But so many probably of you are so tentative and nervous and afraid to offend someone talking to them about Jesus. That fear is misplaced. We don't need to fear what others think of us about Christ. We need to fear what Christ thinks about us. Can I hear an amen? We need to be concerned about that. We need to live this life every day of it. Young people, you need to live it every day. Every day. Thinking about the well done, my good and faithful servant. Because we're here, you might be here for a few years. If you're a Bennett, you might make 110 years old. Like Nick's dad did. But for everybody else, I mean, we're doing good at 70, 80, or 90. My dad went at 91. My mother went in her mid-80s. But we live such a short time in this life, and then we go out into eternity, and we are there for trillions and trillions of years. So listen to me. Stand tall. Have a faith that won't bow or burn. As these Hebrew children said, if God delivers us, God bless him, we love him. But if we burn up in that flame, if that furnace destroys us, we still love him and trust him anyway. They say since the pandemic last year, half of America's church attenders quit coming to church, and they say most of them won't come back again. Across the nation, our church is cut in half. It was almost like half of the church population was looking for an opportunity not to come back. Good, I can shake that off. There's churches that closed because of the pastors and deacons and elders and leaders of some of these old churches said, I'm not even sure we believe it anymore anyway. And they just kicked it in. They abandoned it. What will it take for you to abandon the Lord Jesus Christ? What will it take? Now, we've had the joy of, in the history of this country for the first 180 years or so, we've had the joy that this country was founded by Christian people to propagate the gospel. And that is the history of our nation. The history of our nation was not this idea of the acceptance of everything. It was not the idea of that the whole purpose of our society was simply tolerance. That's not it at all. This nation was founded on the Old and New Testament, the Judeo-Christian principles. Look it up. The Supreme Court in the late 1800s ruled that this is a Christian nation. It was then. We've had that luxury. But even if it turns on us and now it's becoming a socialist nation, and even if it becomes one of the most despicable communist countries or whatever happens, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Christ? We need to have a faith that won't bow or burn. Let's look at a few points here. First of all, a faith that won't bow or burn stands up against the pressures of this world. Romans 12, 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul said, I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants us to take our bodies, give them to Him as a living sacrifice. We often say, are you willing to die for Christ? Well, He's asking, are you willing to live for me? Are you willing to live for Christ? And I want to tell you something. If you're not willing to live for Him, you will not die for Him. If you're not willing to live for Him, you won't die for Him. And so we see this idea that we're not to bow to the pressures of this world. Pray for our young people. This generation and the generation just before it, the X, the Y, the Z, the millennials, all of them, these last few generations, have had more pressure. They're the most unevangelized young people in the history of our nation. Used to be, most people that gave their life to Christ gave their life to Christ before they were 18 years old. The lion's share, the vast majority in our nation, got saved in their childhood or in their teenage years. This generation now, half of them say they don't even believe in God. Yet, what's interesting is there's also a fervent group of them that when they sell out to Christ, they go all the way. And we praise the Lord for that. We see that a faith that won't bow or burn won't serve or worship the false gods of this world. 1 John chapter 3, in chapter 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away and also its lusts, but the person who does the will of God abides forever. When I was 18 years old and I got saved, and I realized that Jesus Christ is really resurrected from the dead. At the time at Northwest, I was in a pre-law program. I wanted to become a lawyer. I thank God that didn't happen. And, you know, in fact, there's a lot of jokes. Why do they bury lawyers 12 feet down? Because deep down, they're real good people. But anyway, that's another story. You know, what's a shame, a bus going over a cliff from a lawyer's convention with the back seats empty? No, but we're not going to say that. But and there's a lot of great lawyers that love God, serve Him, and defend great things. But this was what I wanted to do. And I grew up in an Irish family. We love to make an argument and that type of thing. And then when Jesus Christ saved me, And I found out he's alive. I started praying, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. In fact, that was my number one prayer in the early years of my Christian life. I need your wisdom. I want your wisdom. Share your wisdom with me. And the more I prayed that, the more I started thinking about not this life, but the next life. Not earth, but heaven. Not time and temporal space, but eternity. And the more I started thinking about that, the more I started thinking about what's the most important thing on earth, and it's people. It's people knowing Christ. It's people getting saved. It's people giving their life to the Lord Jesus. That lasts forever. The Bible says, he or she that wins souls is wise. For they that turn many to righteousness shall shine like the brightness of the firmament forever and ever. And so the idea for all of us to say, I want to do something that lasts. I want to do something that lasts forever. And that's not worshiping the false gods of this world. Money, fame, immorality. One of the great homosexual leaders said, not great but influential, said, we worship young men with perfect bodies. And people have replaced worshiping God with worshiping human beings, handsome or beautiful human beings. A faith that won't bow or burn trusts the God of the universe to deliver them. We saw that with these young people, these young men. God will deliver us, and whether he delivers us from the fire or in the fire, he will deliver us. He will set us free. Next, we see that a faith that won't bow or burn anticipates the rejection of this world. In verses 19 through 21 in our passage, they knew that to disobey the order, to drop to their knees and worship the idol, they knew what would happen. And we need to expect that in our life. Don't be alarmed or confused if this world hates you because of Christ, if people reject you. Through the years, I've had members come to me, Pastor, I want you to witness to my loved one, my son, my daughter, my husband, aunt, uncle, whatever. But they said to me, but Pastor, you come on really strong, so don't offend them. I said, you want me to share a convicting word with your loved one so they will repent and give their life to Christ, but you don't want me to offend them? Well, yeah, that's kind of the idea, yes. And I said, that's mission impossible. But also, too, I tell them, what am I going to do, send them to hell number two? They're already lost. They're already separated from God. There's a lot of people. There are millions, tens of millions of people in our country who need to get offended, who need to be made angry. It's interesting through the years that I've seen more people give their life to Christ. Well, the most when they're just open and they're receptive, and that's most of them. In fact, we went out yesterday knocking on doors as training for our soul winning workshop, and our teams led several people to Christ just over off of Palm City Road. These folks, we're knocking on their doors. They're not upset about COVID or this or that or anything else. They're open. They give their... Our team on one of the streets met a family that's going to be coming to church here. They said, we are looking for a church home. We'll see you. We're coming. But the idea in relationship to reaching people and sharing Christ is such a powerful thing. And through the years, most of the people that have gotten angry when they, and that's a relative few, but when they've gotten angry, most of those later have given their lives to Christ. They got angry because the Word of God convicted them. It hit something. They were dealing with something. It was prodding them. It was bringing force to their life. And I would much rather talk to someone and then get upset than talk to some apathetic person that says, come see, come sigh, all religions are the same, I don't care. Let it be Ra, let it be this one or that one, let it be Buddha or whatever, Allah, whatever, it's all the same to me. I can't stand the coexist sticker with all the different symbols of the religions. Every religion on that sticker denies the rest, as they should if they're going to be true to their own. That coexist thing, that's the most ridiculous, stupid thing I've ever seen. And it's absolutely not true. It's absolutely not true. Muslims are killing Christians all over the world. Hindus, there's a father and son that were showing the Jesus movie in India to Hindus over and over again to win them to Christ. A group of Hindu leaders barricaded them into their van and set it on fire and burned them to death, that father and son evangelist, the Hindus, these peaceful karma Hindus. So we see this idea in relationship to Scripture. Faith that won't bow or burn anticipates rejection. And Jesus talked about that. He warned us about that in John chapter 15, where he talked about his rejection and our rejection. John 15, 18 through 20. If the world hates you, you know that it's hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And you may say, no one persecutes me. No one rejects me. Well, you need to ask yourself this question. Are you worth your salt? Are you worth your salt? Are you so invisible in Christ in this world that you're not impacting or rubbing anybody? I think I'm going to have a sermon this year, sometime this year, and I'm going to talk to y'all about how to go offend somebody. And I'm going to have a commitment card in the bulletin that says, I make this pledge before God that this week I'm going to go offend somebody. I'm going to go straight to them. I'm going to talk truth to them. I'm going to be direct with them. And I'm going to go out here and offend somebody. I think it'd do us all a lot of good. There's no one that's ever accomplished anything that didn't suffer resistance and overcome it. That's just part of it. You throw a bunch of crabs in a bucket, and every one of them that tries to crawl over the edge, the others grab it with their pincers and jerk it back in the bucket. And if you're going to succeed, you need to be willing to step out and go above and beyond. A faith that won't bow or burn attracts the presence of Christ. That's the most exciting thing about this whole story. Here's Nebuchadnezzar. It's his veins are bulging out of his neck. His face is red and distended. His brow is all wrinkled up, and he's furious. The king of that time, the world, Nebuchadnezzar, furious at these three young men, these teenagers, who won't bow before him. And yet, they throw him in, and his curiosity is just eating him up. He runs over as close as he can get to the furnace, and when he looks in, he said, hey, didn't we throw three in? Now there's four. And the fourth is like the Son of God, like a God. And it was God. It was Jesus Christ there in the furnace. When you and I go through tribulation, when you and I go through persecution, when you and I go through resistance and rejection and these other things, Jesus Christ will come and be with us. I can tell you with a tried and true acid test, I've been in Muslim nations. I've been in India. I've been in other places. I've been in a socialist area of Mexico. I've been in these other places. And I've sensed the presence of God the strongest in my life. I've seen His hand cover us and protect us. I've seen Him move on people and draw them to Himself. And I just want to tell you, in Pakistan, on a rooftop, praying every morning at the first hour of prayer, I could hear three different imams, Muslim preachers, in three different minarets, Allah Akbar, doing the whole thing, about 4:30 in the morning. And I'm kneeling on a roof and I'm praying, oh Lord God, please touch these three men. I can hear their voices and remind them that You're the true God. Remind them that Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God, God come in the flesh. Remind them, give them doubts, move on their heart. When I first started praying, I prayed for 7 days in a row while we were there. The first days, they were all doing a good, strong 15 to 20 minutes each. And I tell you honestly, by the end of that week, they were struggling to get 5 minutes. And I attributed it to God Almighty working on them. The power of God's Spirit is all over the face of the earth. All over the face of the earth. And you and I need to recognize that. A faith that won't bow or burn attracts the presence of Christ. You may say, I hadn't sensed Jesus strong in my life in a long time. Well, what are you doing to stand? What are you doing to not burn and not bow? What are you doing? What are you doing to represent? And then finally, a faith that won't bow or burn glorifies God. In verses 27 and 28 of our passage, you see Nebuchadnezzar's response. He calls together all of his leaders, the prefects, the governors, officials, and he draws them in and he said, look, here he is, the king who was so angry just a little bit ago. Look, this fire has no effect on their body. It didn't even burn their trousers. Their pants aren't even, their hair isn't even singed, and they don't even smell like smoke. Would you look at this? Would you look what God has done? And then finally, here's what he's responded and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him. Even violating, he said, my command and yielding up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god but their own. Isn't it funny that because of these three young teenagers and their commitment to God and their willingness not to bow or worship or serve a false god, that the very person who set up the false god became the evangelist. Nebuchadnezzar saying, look what their God, look what he did. And then he says, here's the key to it. You worship and serve him, and he's going to take care of you. They turned Nebuchadnezzar into an evangelist for God Almighty, the Jehovah, El Shaddai, Elohim, the God of the universe. I just want to encourage you, it's one of the most exciting things in life to see someone turn. In Memphis, there was a guy I knew by reputation, and then I got to know him, named Robbie Ryan. He was the biggest, one of the biggest, strongest football players in Memphis, and he was mean as a snake. He had a beautiful girlfriend that'd go to a bar. If anyone looked at his girlfriend, he would knock them clean out. He knocked several guys off of bar stools looking at his girlfriend. He'd just go over and just slug them and drop them like a sack of wheat. Well, when I got saved, I said, there's one guy I want to win to Jesus, Robbie Ryan. In fact, he had to wait on graduating from high school because he got on his chopper and rode it down the hallway a month before graduation, and they had to debate whether to let Robbie graduate or not. And I said, I want to go after this guy and guys like him. And so I went after him to win him to Christ and shared Jesus with him. And Robbie gave his life to the Lord. He's been living for Jesus for years. I just want to encourage you. Just step out. Don't prejudge people. Oh, they're not going to accept. I went to the funeral of one of my best friends in Memphis a couple of months ago. And there was a young man there. Well, he's not young now. He's my age, a young senior. And I think I'm a young man sometimes, but a young senior, David Sitton. And David was a muscular, one of the roughest guys in Memphis. And he's got gloriously saved, and he's got a face like Jesus. Soft eyes, a warm heart, loves the Lord, and has been an ardent soul winner for the last 40 years. Who knows how many people go. David Sitton will go anywhere. He'll go into any alley in Memphis at any time of the day or night. He'll go, and he's witness to gangs. He's witness to motorcycle gangs. And just standing for Jesus. And he's got such a joy. I saw him at the funeral. He said, "Daryl Orman, there you are." And he came up and hugged me. And just a joy that just radiates out of his life because he's been a Jesus man his whole adult life. I just want to encourage you, a faith that won't bow or burn believes the Word of God, trusts God, talks to God, lives with God, and speaks for God. I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed today, I'd like to ask you, where are you with the Lord Jesus? Are you just comfortable to show up at church Sundays, mornings, or every now and then, or whatever you do? Or are you really wanting to step out there with Christ? What kind of faith, what will it take for you to reject Jesus and turn on him? I'd like to ask you right now, if you're not sure of your relationship with Christ, if you're not sure that Jesus is real and living in your life, I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer right now and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and forgive my sins and cleanse me and take control of me and live through me. And thank you for dying to pay for my sins. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen." We're going to extend an invitation now and want to ask you to do business with God this morning. We just want to ask you, please, to do what he tells you to do as he speaks to your heart through his Spirit. We want to invite you to come. I'll be standing at the front, be glad to receive you. Let's stand together and sing. And you come. Please be seated. Let's give our youth a big hand today for everything they've done in relationship to our service. We praise the Lord for them, proud of them, thank God for them. In fact, they've been doing a series of helpful deeds for people in the area. And Kim and I were the recipients of one of those, and it was such a blessing. They came over and did 2 weeks' worth of work at our house in about 2 hours, and then jumped in the pool and knocked all the water out of it. And so we had a great time, and praise the Lord for them. Rudy, you come. Rudy's going to dismiss us in prayer today. And anything you want to add? Anything you want to share? Thanks for sharing scripture with us earlier.
You're welcome. So let's bow our heads and close eyes. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all here together. Please, God, can you protect us on our way homes and throughout the week, God? If anyone's suffering through this time, God, please can you be with them? In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, honors and AP middle school program, and high school dual enrollment. Our STRIVE program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. STRIVE offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.